Rally to me, Escalonians! You'll never conquer Ascalon!
Hello, and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls get spoopy with one grumpy pants. I am Hunter, and I am joined, as always, by Alona and Hashtag. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Guys.
I could say guys. Guys is a general term.
You hadn't ever done that before.
Yeah.
I thought that was Hashtag is a teacher. I bet you should refer to our entire class as guys occasionally.
Technically, you're not supposed to do that anymore. Technically,
really?
The PC thing is folks.
Folks.
Yeah.
No wonder students think teachers are lame. Okay.
It's not a teacher thing.
Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. And we got a bunch of emails and tweets this week, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, we usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been doing, what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Alona, would you like to start us off?
Would I? Once again, I have like the least amount of stuff to talk about, so it's probably good to get me out of the way. Guild missions. The previous Sunday, we went around as a squad getting as much of the back piece collection for the Mad King. So in the first Halloween in 2012, there were two back pieces, Mad Memories and Mad Memories Complete Edition. And with this Halloween, they've reintroduced that collection, but also included, I can't remember the names of them, they're pretty cool, but two further back pieces.
Yeah, one's Complete Ignition.
Right.
And I forget what the other one is.
Okay. So we went through as a group to get as much of those done together as we could. I don't know how many of it. There was not that many that had been through it in 2012. So it was nice to make everyone able to get that. And this past Sunday, we did regular type guild missions. And So if I have to be perfectly honest, I wasn't really feeling up to it at first. I was like kind of tired and didn't really like, I'd rather just watch TV or something. But I had a lot of fun once we got going. There was a bunch of good-natured spice being thrown around, I think in good part because of Hashtag's rivalry with Frick from our guild. And then Festy showed up, and she's always good to get Hunter going. So it was a lot. There was a lot of shade being thrown around. It was pretty great. I quite enjoyed it.
I think you guys get instigated by Festy going after me more than I do, because I don't really get offended by anything Festy has to say.
No, we don't. It's wonderful. It's delightful.
Sure.
I completed all the masteries for the Griffin mount. I felt like it took me a long time compared to, say, like both you guys, because I don't know, it was like weeks after you were done, and I was just like, yay, I got it now. But I'm glad I have it. I actually really like the diving feature. I went into Verdant Brink into the ravines to try there to see how it would work. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I quite like it. There are times where I try to use it for a bit of a speed boost, and I go, you know, head first into the ground. Sorry, Griffin. Look, they must have really strong necks, is what it comes down to. I spent a few hours in Pink Day in LA on the 21st of October. It's always a lot of fun for a good cause. I wasn't able to spend as much time as I have in the past, but it was still a lot of fun, and there was contests. I didn't win anything, but that's totally fine. I'd, you know, lots of really amazing prizes, like a lot of legendaries being given away. It was pretty great. And I just wanted to, as a quick aside to that, if you like listening to music while you play Guild Wars 2 or any game really, but you should check out Gwen Radio. So it's GW-EN Radio. They run year round and they always have on-air personalities playing music. And it's just a browser-based radio. It's pretty good. They play some really good music. Like, I'm like, oh, maybe because it's old-timey. I like it.
I used to listen to them a bit back in Guild Wars. Mm-hmm. Haven't really listened to them much the past few years.
Well, it's still really good. Mm-hmm. I recommend it. I ran some hero points with Panther one afternoon. It was casual. It was enjoyable. It was just what I needed for an afternoon run in the game. And other than that, I've been doing a lot of general Mad King festival stuff. I've actually largely been ignoring the normal dailies unless Hunter harangues me into doing them. Like he did
like
today.
Tonight.
Like tonight. And I have not actually been doing much in the way of POF either. There were a few things I really wanted to get done during the festival that I thought, well, that's time gated or blocked. Let's just concentrate on that and worry about it. I put a pin in almost everything else. And with that, I crafted all the lunatic armors, which allowed me to complete the Mad Memories, the ghosty version, which you've already said the name of, Hunter, and I've already forgotten again.
I think Complete Ignition was the other one. I'm not sure what the ghosty one is.
Yeah, completely forgot right now.
Yeah.
So I have it all, and I think in the grand scheme of things, I've completed everything I wanted to get done this year.
So expensive, by the way, to craft those. Mm. Especially if you didn't choose the leather versions from the free armor boxes.
Yeah.
I would say that is a tip. If you are at all interested in getting all three sets, choose the medium when you get your free options from the masteries?
Achievements. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get the medium because leather is the most expensive. So it's actually not too bad.
It's not
right now. It's probably
it's not super bad. It was like, yeah. I don't know. I used up most of my refined hardened leather just making armor. So, yeah.
What was I managed to do it with 10 left total. Like, I really depleted it. And after a fairly long break, Hunter and I did a pass at Rendak yesterday. Got nothing.
Yeah. We're never getting that signet.
Or the chalice that you need. Mm. You need each for the...
I get the chalice all the time. What are you talking about?
No. There's a higher, like an exotic version.
Of the chalice? Do you get it from Rendak? I thought you just got the signet from Rendak.
I'd have to investigate. I thought it was both. I could be making things up as I go along. It's been a while since I actually looked into it. It's the you need something for the treasure hunter.
Yeah, I think you get like a rare chalice, which you get all the time, and then the signet.
I'll look that up. Will you tell me what you were up to in game?
I've been slowly working on finishing off all the achievements in the zones of Poth. The only achievements I have remaining are Nap Time in Desert Highlands, the Mouth of Torment meta in the Desolation, which I don't think I've seen anyone actually doing in over a week, and Janundu Rising in the Desolation, which also doesn't get run very often, and the two new achievements they added to Domain of Vabby last week for Serpent's Ire and the Mini Dungeon that I haven't seen anyone doing. I mean, I have done Serpent's Ire several times, but it's pretty rare to find a group doing it, and it's the meta that's in the eastern part of Domain of Vabby in the Brand. The first part is easy enough, where you draw out branded forgotten zealots and you track them down and kill them within a time limit. The second part is much more difficult, and a lot of people seem to think it's overtuned and impossible to do. Not enough people bring crowd control skills, and the CC bar resets too quickly, and you can only damage the zealots when their health when their CC bar is down. So it fails pretty consistently, and if you add to that that the rewards for all the POF meta events are a bit lacking, you don't get Serpent's Ire done very often. I spent a large part of my time trying to get the High Judge achievement done without realizing that they don't all spawn in the same spot.
I was on when you realized that.
Yeah, well, I thought they all spawned where one of the High Judge spawns, like in the courtroom. But you could be standing in the courtroom and not see the other two events being up. You have to literally be on top of those events to see that they're up. And I spent a great deal of time just standing around nearby, assuming I'd see the events pop up on my minimap, but that did not happen. But eventually I got them done. I spent some time trying to get shadow seals by delivering field orders to NPCs in the Desolation. If you get 200 seals, you can purchase a finisher, plus it's tied to an achievement.
Why do you want a finisher?
It's one of the only finishers you can get in-game without gems, so why not?
For all the PvP?
I keep hoping they'll bring back finishing to NPCs and mobs.
Okay.
I did all the Halloween stuff. I finished all the achievements except for the five dailies one, since that goes on and on. I spent way too much time carving pumpkins, closing doors, trying to find a good lab squad. It's funny that at the beginning of Halloween, I couldn't find groups doing all doors in the LFG, and then this past week, I've been having trouble finding groups not doing all the doors and skipping the bosses.
I found that's been my luck all along, is doing the doors and skipping the bosses.
Yeah, it's annoying. Because, like, you want one thing at one time, and then once you're done, you don't want to do the bosses anymore, but everyone's doing the bosses.
If there was an easier way to sort the LFG, or, you know, some sort of indication that the map is full, it would make it so much easier to deal with that sort of thing. But when you're constantly, you find one group that you think, okay, this is the group that's doing what I want to do, and then you join in and you can't get into the map.
Yeah, there's been various Reddit threads about it, but I'm not sure how you would manage that. Like, having your LFG disappear from LFG just because the group filled up is not necessarily the best solution either, because, I mean, having to re-up your squad every time to LFG as soon as one person leaves is annoying.
I think it just needs a little, like, red icon or something that says map full, or, like, it can stay there, just listed as map full, and then if people drop out and there's space available, that little indicator. But that might not work because you have to refresh it all the time, too. But I don't know.
Yeah. I got the Funerary Cope Box collection done. Had all of the djinns that you have to kill done, and realized I needed to start carrying around amalgamated gemstones with me just to be sure that I had them on me in case I came across it. And then once I had the amalgamated gemstones, I went down there just to check on it. And there were people in there, so I just sort of walked in, got the channels done, and that was it. Simple, easy. I had thought the meta event in the Desert Highlands had required you to complete events during the timed period where you're supposed to be digging for buried treasure, because the meta says something along the lines of complete events during the buried treasure hunt and you will get explorer notes. And I thought you needed explorer notes to get these special treasure chests, but apparently you just need the treasure hunting kit, and you get like a slightly better chest from hunting treasure during that time period all throughout the zone. You get like a superior treasure chest instead of a treasure chest.
So that's what the treasure stuff's for? I had no idea.
Well, technically you can use the treasure hunting kits all over Poff.
Yeah.
And there's like a couple of achievements tied to treasure hunting. Like in the Desolation, you'll get ancient surveyor's tools, which is part of a collection. You get 10, you combine them, and So I was annoyed that they left that faulty text in the meta event, and it was confusing. And the only reason I didn't have it done is because I didn't realize that the text was faulty.
Ah.
So I got that done, and various other things. I guess that's all I did this week. Hashtag?
Let's see. So since our last podcast, yeah, I have conquered the clock tower. Woo!
Yes, and now you're like, cannot be stopped.
Yeah, so I didn't just do it once, which I thought, if I ever get this done, it's going to be one and done and I'll never look back. But then I remembered that there was the achievement for, I think it's 25. Is it 15? 25? Maybe I have
25 for 25. Each Halloween ritual one.
Okay, so I've done at least 30 times now.
Mm. I've done it twice this year. Twice.
So I feel like I'm getting the hang of things with my mouse and keyboard. And there was definitely, growing pains, but now it feels normal. And I actually tried to play on my laptop last week. I just had to log in really quickly and I was trying to do my dailies and I felt like I was driving backwards. I mean, it was hard. So that's good.
So I'll ask you after the show. I want to ask you about this a bit more. But
okay. I have finished most of the Halloween achievements. All I have left are a few of the pumpkins and doors, aside from the daily achievement thing that takes forever. So making progress on that. I'm hoping to have it all done before next Tuesday. And so this week has been really crazy. So I lost power in the Northeast windstorms. It was my oldest daughter's 15th birthday, so a lot going on. But despite all of that, I'm still determined to stay ahead of my guilty frick in my quest for AP dominance.
How does he do it?
I don't know. So I've managed to boost ahead. So last week, I got ahead a little bit by finally completing all the tech achievements, and Hunter was berating me for not having this done 2 years ago, but
4 years ago, when it was Tequaddle
Rising.
Well,
no, when was Tequaddle Rising?
I don't remember.
Those were new, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so finally got that done, which was 50 AP. Yay. But in my absence, Frick has managed to whittle away my lead. So I don't know what he's doing. I mean, Frick, are you listening? Because
personal vendetta out to Frick. Watch your back,
what
buddy.
What the frick? What the frick? I say that at least once a night now. Because I don't know if he's doing story or some sort of subterfuge, but he is racking in the AP. So well done, Frick, but I'm going to keep at it too. So watch out. So I've also been reading Jason, I don't know how to say his last name, Schreier, I want to say. Jason Schreier.
I would say Schreier.
Blood, Sweat, and Pixels book, which is listed as The Triumphant Turbulent Stories Behind How Video Games Are Made. Really, really interesting book. I'm only a couple chapters into it, but it's a fascinating look at the industry, and I feel like it's relevant to Guild Wars 2. Because there was a recent subreddit post involving a discussion on crunching, which is a topic that the book does not shy away from. And in fact, like, I feel like the term is coming up every other page as it's talking about different games and how they're made. So the book's approach, and, I'm only a couple chapters in, but it seems to be that crunch is a necessary evil in most artistic endeavors, and it is what it is. So crunch is basically, the time leading up to something being launched, when people will go all out and put in 80-hour work weeks and spend the night in the office and, you know, those sorts of things. So the book seems to feel like, or at least the author seems to put it as like, you know, this is what it is. It's part of the industry. So I'm curious what the work environment at ArenaNet is really like, especially in the crunch leading to releases like POF. And I just wish the player base was more understanding of the time and effort it takes to bring quality games to the masses. As I read Twitter posts and Reddit posts, particularly following a big release, and you know, it's gotta, you gotta understand where these people are coming from and all the work that's going into it.
From what I understand from things that some of the devs have said when they're on Guild Chat, they're specific. I know, and I don't know if every game company is like this, but it sounds like they use a very agile methodology, which in theory means that you don't end up with those crunches, or at least as bad. So, yeah, it would be interesting to know.
Yeah.
Like, I want people to have lives.
Right. I mean, we want good content, but we also recognize that there is, you know, a man and a woman behind all these things that are being done in game, and we want them
I remember looking through
just one man and woman.
That's it.
What's that workplace website that does exit reviews from people who formerly worked at something
Glassdoor?
Yeah, Glassdoor. And I would say that ArenaNet has a fairly healthy mix of positive and negative reviews. A lot of the people there did comment negatively on the crunch and a few other negative reviews, but that's not, I think it's normal for any corporation to have a fair amount of negative reviews. But switching to another topic, we've discussed in the past how, like, we have read, like, the repeated threads on Reddit about how ANET should just update their game engine because it's, you know, they should flip a switch and update it because it's ancient and it doesn't work anymore. And
the magic switch.
Like, a friend of mine, I was talking about this with another friend, and they said that, you know, something broke in SAB and we didn't have it for 2 years because that's how long it took to fix.
Yeah.
So imagine if they had to completely update the engine, like how many things that would break. Like, armchair developers are the worst, and they just do not seem to understand the complexities of, like, this incredible online game complexity.
Well, and the longer things are around, you end up just inherently with spaghetti code too. Like, you try not to, but it's hard not to. Like, it just ends up happening, and you change one thing and something that you can't even imagine is going to be affected. It's like, well, that's busted. So anyway, we got really off topic there.
That's per usual from us.
Every other week, we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. This week, we asked, where do you spend the majority of your playtime? And with, well, Halloween time. Where do you spend the majority of your Halloween playtime? And with 98 votes, 58% of you voted for the Labyrinth, 18% voted for Lion's Arch, 8% voted for the Clock Tower or Inquisition, and 16% voted for the Joko option.
And, which we had to explain.
We usually DM each other to come up with the poll, and so hashtag said, how about Lion's Arch, this and joke option, and I went Joko option, and Hunter was like, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna word it exactly like that, I don't care if we have to explain. So we did. We did have a few responses. Calabajui said, Labyrinth, got to get them top bags. Hunter actually replied to this, and we're going to quote him.
Because so few people responded to the poll, we have to.
Well, this one was pretty, like, straightforward, though. So Hunter said, did you want to read your own?
No.
Okay. I kind of wanted to, I want hashtag to do this because I want her to do it in her Hunter voice.
Oh, no.
I've spent a lot of time on the clock tower in the past, and some on Lions, Arches, Mad King slash Pumpkin Carving, etc., or Ascent to Madness, but yeah, Labyrinth. And that Cho said, I was on hiatus the first few times Halloween existed, so it doesn't have the nostalgic feel for me that it has for others. And I, for that particular one, I would say having them bring back the Mad Memories might change your opinion on that if you did that. It's a really good collection and has quite a nice amount of story with it.
Yeah, it, well, you're right.
It's reading. It's a lot of reading, but it's...
Doing that again was very nostalgic, I thought. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But I think even doing it, if you hadn't done it in the past, it lays a lot of context
mm-hmm.
for the lore of Halloween
mm-hmm. True.
Within Guild Wars 2 and Guild Wars 1.
It's so morbid.
It is awful. It's appallingly bad, but great.
Yeah. You missed your opportunity to do a Hunter voice when you read me out.
I don't think I can do it. I've never tried.
I don't have a Hunter voice.
You do. You sound like, man, Hunter sounds... And I can't do it right, but it's like you're trying to imitate him to a certain extent, and it's a thing. It's a thing I enjoy.
And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up is the Guild Wars 2 Design a Weapon Contest. And they posted about this yesterday, was it? I think it was yesterday.
Oh, or Monday. Maybe yesterday.
It wasn't yesterday, was it? I don't know.
We received over 900 amazing player-created designs for the 2017 Design a Weapon Contest, and we've narrowed it down to 20 entries. Now it's your turn to tell us which weapon you'd carry into battle in Guild Wars 2. The three designs that receive the most votes will inspire in-game weapons. Congratulations to all of the finalists. The poll will close on Friday, November 10th at 9 a.m. Pacific. Post up on Reddit for contestants to share entries that did not make the finals. Yeah, there was a post on Reddit for...
And it was yesterday. I just checked mm-hmm. the website.
And we'll post that link to like the people that didn't make the final 20 in the show notes, right? Mm-hmm. I think. So, yeah.
Put it in chat right now.
So, yeah, there were 20 weapons. What did you guys vote for?
First of all, there were it was an incredibly hard decision.
Was yeah. it?
Yeah.
Yes. There were like, okay, how it, so 1, 2, 3, 4
20 5 6 7 8
9, there were like 10 that I liked a lot.
I wish we could have picked 3 since they're gonna go with the top 3. I wish we could have.
Actually, I would have liked that.
For me, one stood out above the rest, so picking it was not difficult. I think that the torch is...
It's pretty spectacular.
Way
it's
better
unique.
Than
it
most of the
really
others.
It is really
unique. Yeah. I mean, I don't even like torch or use it that much on any uh-huh. of my characters, but I think that torch stands out.
It's very different. So mm-hmm. you're talking... So the torch is the hands...
Yeah, the hands sort of grasping yeah. that fire in the center.
So mm-hmm. I went with the unusual looking dagger that kind of swoops around the handle.
You know, I should have had these images and put them up when we were talking about them. I'm sorry, chat room. This is and yeah, awful. Anyway,
so it's kind of like a stone-ish looking dagger. I like the design of it. It's really interesting and fluid, and I think it'd be pretty cool to play with.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely one of the ones I'm such a sucker for staves. I really liked all the daggers, actually. The sword with the lapis lazuli sort of blade and the ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. Loved the staff mm-hmm. that, you know, had, like, again, the wrappings kind of billowing off of it. The focus, shape-wise, is very similar to other foci we've seen in the game, but I really liked...
kind of a centaur theme, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I really like this. I was saying earlier when we were chatting, it looks like it would go really well with like a Dry Bones outfit, mm-hmm. or armor set or something like that. So I really like that. I hadn't really noticed the greatsword where it was half solid and half kind of energy-y, but hashtag pointed it out and I took a better look at it, and
which
one? It got added to the list of ones I liked.
Which one is that? I didn't notice that.
The one that's it's the on our
bluish
second
one
under,
or the okay.
The, yeah, that one. Ultimately, again, I could go through like half of these and talk about what I liked about each of them. The axe that had purple bits, I would love that for the Mesmer, Mirage, technically. But ultimately, I voted for the staff, the one that has like a fin bladed top. And I liked it because it looked like it could be mystical and magical and energy based, but super deadly in the hands of a martial character.
Daredevil?
Like Daredevil. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to think, are there any other... Is it only your Daredevil that uses it that way currently?
Yes.
I think so.
Pretty sure.
Or...
How does it... Yeah.
Maven. But I really love... And I love the detail on it and the different textures and the slightly different colors. It was flashy without being over the top for me. And it was just... But it was hard. Like, it was really hard to choose. I was thinking that Revenant uses it as a martial weapon as well. I was just thinking that, but I wasn't sure.
Looping back around to hashtag's choice of dagger, I admit it looks kind of cool, but it's so impractical, I could never choose it. Like, you can't stab anybody with that. You can
sure
slash
you can. No, that's
people,
a,
but it's
that's,
not a stabber.
That's a slicer. No, that's a slicer.
You could I could see that.
This is a conversation we're having.
I could see you holding. Okay, so you're holding the holding part.
And what? Jumping down, but like you'd have to hang on so that like you're not forcing your palm into the.
No. So your fingers would wrap around the part that's got the, you know, the wrap.
I'm face palming,
and you'd like go over your head. And just like slam it down, and
no,
you wouldn't strike. It would be like a downward motion. Whoosh!
The very fact that we are debating this is weird, because yeah, I just think that is impractical.
Well, I mean, half of these weapons are impractical. Look at the staffs. I mean, really.
Well, in particular, that purple staff with all the glowing bits. That's way too wide and big.
I'm actually trying to find the link to where they show all those, because I was wondering if we could give some indication which one we're talking about.
Well, if you go to the actual voting page, they randomize which order they come in.
Oh, they're not numbered. It would be nice if they were numbered. Okay.
Yeah. They are on Dulphy's page, so, and that is static, so
we
should have linked to that.
We should have.
Okay, and there were some notes from Anet about raids and fractals on changes to the raid master track with the next raid release posted on Reddit. Hey folks, I wanted to clarify some stuff, I guess, for sake of conversation, but also for edification, because I like interacting with you guys, and why not? First thing, with the next raid release, the Hot Raid Mastery track will be hidden just like the Griffin track. They can be unlocked the same as always by completing any raid event. We understand that some people don't want to do raids, but want their delicious spirit shards, so let's fix that. Fractals are part of Coreteria, meaning base game and no expansion necessary. That is why the Mastery track is separate. It has always been part of Coreteria, and it always will be. Full stop. Raids are expansion content only. The Raid Mastery track under HOT will always require owning HOT to utilize. At this point in time, I don't see that changing. POF Raids will not have a Mastery track. We learned very quickly as a company that, one, good Masteries are hard to design, And two, if you create a good mastery, why lock it behind a raid? And three, why is this one 1A and 2? Who did this?
No, that was how he numbered it in the Reddit
that
post.
That is bizarre. And three, it's better to use open world masteries inside of raid content. The raid mastery track was locked for one simple reason. We wanted players to have to start playing the content before they could farm and max out their masteries. Sure, go level them up in events afterwards, but don't go into the content full prepped without having done it all. The track wasn't hidden like Griffin because that tech didn't exist. It does now, so we're enabling it.
Oh,
it sucks for some people that have it unlocked, but it is what it is.
So basically, no new raid masteries, but if you haven't done anything in raids right now and you just have that black bar at the bottom of your screen with the next raid release, that will swap to being full as long as you don't unlock that mastery. Once you unlock that mastery, then you do have to complete it, but nothing new.
Right. So, yeah.
I think it's good because a lot of people... we've heard that complaint for a while. People who don't want to do raids, but they want to get their spirit shards for completing their masteries. I think it's reasonable. I think it's good that they're making it happen.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have to try for pity shards.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I mean, spirit shards are, like, really easy to get, so I don't really get the complaint.
I don't know. I mean, there's people like Festy who seems to never have enough spirit shards.
No. Let's not compare Festy, who makes a kudzu every 2 weeks so she can make money and buy 10,000 gems. Literally, she has that many gems. Like, she's not comparable to other people.
All right, I guess. I don't know. It's not only Festy that I've heard that from, though. Actually, I don't think it's that people are necessarily crying for spirit shards, but the fact that it's just a black bar at the bottom and they'd like it to be going towards something. So, you know, yeah, shards don't break the bank, so
why not? I'm crying a river for them right now.
I can tell.
Bootspur in chat is actually saying, no new raid masteries makes me think some people's idea that there might be a raid unique mount is unlikely.
Well, I was thinking there would be a mount unique to Living Story, not raids. I don't see why they would ever lock
a
mount behind raids.
Yeah, it just
not
seems
a mount,
weird
but a
that
skin,
a,
maybe.
That there would. Yeah, maybe a skin. Skin makes sense, but to put all that work into a mount and have it only be, I mean, there would be so much raging.
Yeah, that's asking for drama.
Yeah.
But up next,
and we don't need to ask,
the balance patch.
All right. So there was a message from the balance team. There seems to be some incorrect information and or unfounded expectations surrounding the next balance update. So we'd like to shed a light on our plans. The next balance update will not take place this week. Now, this was posted, I believe, Monday. So it was people talking about this current week. It is scheduled to come out next week on November 7th. The release date could still change due to unforeseen circumstances or shenanigans beyond our control, but that is our plan right now.
Yeah, there was a lot of drama, like when they said that the balance patch would be next week, people freaking out, oh, they can't make changes in case there's a big screw up before the season starts. I mean, that was never going to happen anyway. If they did post them a week before the season started, they're not going to have enough information to change much of anything before the
right.
season starts.
But what about people adjusting their builds before the season?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Especially if they're doing it for... Like, raiding in particular is pretty money intensive if you are trying to build for it. PvP probably, but no, because you can get stuff you get stuff for free for that.
What like, do you mean
you can
for free?
Well, you can choose which, like you don't have to go in with set gear.
Gotcha. You can choose.
You can mix in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we will see. Maybe there aren't too many changes. Mm-hmm. Holding on to my scourge with dear life, for dear life. Please, please, please. Just look away from the scourge.
Oh, so actually that's something I tried this past 2 weeks, which I forgot to talk about, is I tried Scourge for the first time, and it was a lot of fun. I felt super duper... I was thinking, if this is what Scourge is like after it was nerfed, it needed to be nerfed, because it was...
super fun.
It was fun, and I did
melted
not
everything.
Have... I melted everything, and this is after nerf, so...
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I see why it probably had to happen.
Yeah. There were updates to the gem store over the past 2 weeks. So this week, the Awakened Zealot outfit and the Mini Choya Pumpkin Gang arrived. I have not seen these in game. Have either of you seen these out in the wild yet?
Not in the wild, but I did preview them. So I was absolutely delighted with the Mini Choya Pumpkin Gang.
Oh, man.
So when I looked at them, I was on one of my Azura, and they are ginormous. Like, I couldn't hardly see my character in the preview pane. They were so large. So, yeah.
Yeah, Aenid is really good at capitalizing on the cute little things that they design, like Quaggan, Skritz, Robotron.
The rock.
The mini pet rock, you mean?
Yes.
And now this Choya Pumpkin Gang.
Yeah. And as far as the outfit, I wasn't super crazy about it on a Char. I really liked it on my Azura. I don't know if it's different between, if it's gender broken. I haven't checked Delphi, to be perfectly honest with it, to see if it's how it breaks down gender-wise between...
I think it is a difference. I feel like the male version was more like Daydreamers, kind of that peekaboo.
Yeah, a little. I know I saw it on my Azura, and I thought, this is really cool, and Hunter happened to be on one of his Azura, and he was like, this is weird. But you were on a female Azura, and I was on a male Azura. So I don't know if it's just our different aesthetics, or if they're different on between the two of them.
It really reminded me of like some sort of scene out of a Japanese fantasy anime with like bone costume. I don't know. Just didn't didn't speak to me.
Hmm. I liked it. I loved the headpiece on it quite a bit, actually. I'm gonna take another look on some of my other characters, though, because I haven't been exhaustive on it.
So last week, the Riding Broom Glider and the Mini Alonian Familiar were dropped into game.
Hold on.
What? I was going to read.
You're going to read
yes.
what Evan Nashblade had to yes. say.
Yes.
But that comes before this.
Whatever.
You're trying to skip out on doing the Evan Nashblade voice.
I was going to read. Anyway, here we go. Here's what Evan Nashblade had to say about something. I know some of you non-char can't get over our superficial resemblance to cats, but that's not an excuse to harp on it. And you can't just walk up and pepper us with invasive questions. I'm not about to talk to perfect strangers about whether we purr or stick out our tongues for no reason or sit or sit
you
in
know they
boxes.
Do. They do for all of this.
Why? Because it's none of your business. That's why. A couple of you look like Morellos, but I don't assume that's the cause of your toxic breath. Oh, brother. Okay, so riding broom. Yes.
What? Don't get exasperated with me. There should be more than one narration thing here, because that's for...
That's it. That's all you put in.
Well, you should have put in the one for this week. That was your job, hashtag.
I left it out because I knew we had it for the other one.
You just didn't want to read it.
No, it's... No, I normally...
somebody gets a little exasperated with all the Evan Nash blades, so I figured one was enough.
Yeah, but I like torturing you guys over
it. Oh my gosh. Anyway, Riding Broom Glider and Mini Alonian Familiar. People have been waiting for the Riding Broom for a long time. However, mm-hmm. there was controversy, as usual, because there's a cat on the broom.
Drama.
And it's there to stay. Dun, dun, dun. But what's super awesome about the broom is it's race specific. So there's different holds to it. Like the Char looks like they're surfing. The Asura looks like it's holding on for dear life. Human... kind of the female human rides it like a side saddle.
And same with Silvari, I think.
Yeah. And I don't know about the Norn. I can't remember.
Yeah. What do the Norn do? I'm curious now.
What do the Norn do?
If it's like the toy, the riding broom toy, it is the same as human and Silvari.
Oh.
I'm kind of curious. Okay. I feel terrible. Like I've not done any actual research or anything. So with some of the other toys that have also had glider versions made of them, there's a transition from one to the other, like if you have the toy equipped. So when you glide and when you land, it's like you're still
right
on the item. So I'm kind of wondering if there's no familiar on the toy, does it like jump off when you land? Like, oh, I'm done with you. Hop off and run away.
Huh. We will have to test. I actually don't know anybody who has it yet. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I
might get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have been really enthusiastic to get it a couple of years ago, but we got mounts now. And like, I mean, they should have dropped this like 2 years ago at least.
Oh, wait. So actually the Norn rides with like their arms out, like the woman.
Oh,
Norn.
Right.
Like they're the airplane. Super excited. Yes. All right. That was very important to bring up.
Okay.
But it's not overly spency, really, in the grand scheme of things. I might get it. I'm not sure. I like the riding broom, so. But I see where you're coming from, too, Hunter, with mounts. And if you only have so much money to, like, put towards the gem store, do you put it towards mount skins? Or do you put it towards glider skins?
Gotta get a griffin skin.
Oof.
So good.
You know me, it's going to be about 3 years before I have a mount skin.
No, now that you have a computer that can handle all that the game has to offer, you're going to be a little bit more quick to jump on those. It's going to happen.
Ah, gems.
Yes. One of the other bit of news, we got this, well, last week I think it was, the Path of Fire soundtrack was released. It's now available for purchase on Amazon and iTunes. The digital download features 40 tracks composed by McLean Dimer, Wilbert Roget II, Brendan Williams, and Stan Lepard, exclusively for Guild Wars 2's second expansion. You can also pre-order the special collector's edition. It's a two-piece vinyl from I Am 8-Bit. The release includes both the Guild Wars 2 Path of Fire original soundtrack on vinyl and a digital download code. So you can have both of those. And it looks gorgeous.
It does.
I have the Path of Fire Heart of Thorns vinyl. And I'm definitely going to pick this up too. I really like how they're following. It's the same look essentially, but just slightly modified, obviously, for Path of Fire. So instead of the green vinyl discs, they're like this magenta fuchsia. They look gorgeous.
I still don't have Heart of Thorns, the vinyl, and I really want to get both of them. It just, they're so, like you're saying, the design is beautiful.
They're beautiful. They're so beautiful. For anyone that cares, IM8-Bit has the Heart of Thorns vinyl on sale $5 off right now. So it's $35 US instead of $40.
And Everyone has critiques about the game they play, but we like to keep things positive too. So in our Good Apples and Grumble Cakes segment, we ask you to send in your thoughts on one positive thing and one negative thing. And just a note for this episode, we kind of have a mix of Good Apple / Grumble Cakes and default mail carrier. The two kind of blended into one this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so @somedoug sent us a tweet, I assume, from the @. I didn't see this one, so interesting. But Good Apple, loved the Labyrinth race when not getting hacked to death by the terror. love when it shows up near the starting line with 50 seconds left to go. And a Grumble Cake, will I ever make it to that stinking clock tower?
You can yes. do it.
Can, I can do it. Seriously, if I can do it, you can do it.
Well, do it. Something that I've repeated to every person that complains about the clock tower is that, like,
watch the videos.
No.
See, there it is. There's the Hunter voice.
The first time I ever did it, it took me 3 hours of throwing myself at it before I ever completed it. And that it was a real grind. And so it's like, you know, it's partly memorization, partly just determination. But yeah, you know, watching a video probably would help. #
Did it?
Yes. Yeah, so I actually...
That was the most resigned.
I had a video pulled up on my second monitor while I was trying it. And when I got into my real grind, where I was working on it for about 2 hours, I pulled up Wooden Potatoes' video from when he first did it in 2012. And it's about 45 minutes long. And it was fantastic because the first half of it, he's, you know, abysmally failing. So I don't feel awful as I'm kind of falling at the same spots and then, you know, figuring it out along with him almost at the same time. So it was perfect.
Yeah. Well, the hardest part of it is the first 10% or so. And then yeah. once you get going, you, yeah.
I remember the first year when I would try it, and Cal was able to finish it, and I had a hard time even getting up the first set of like broken stairs. Like, I'd be like, I'm in the soup already. How did this happen? To be fair, I was playing on an iMac, so.
Yeah. Well, that's as far as I ever made it on my laptop, so yeah.
So it's a Mac thing, uh-huh. not us. Uh-huh. It's not our fault.
Totally.
Particle Shift sent in an email. Salutations, extraordinarily how do you say that?
Elocutionists.
Elocutionists. I just butchered that. Very ironically. Okay. Your light just went off. Gollum, are you still recording? Oh, we need a robot. Yeah, # UB robot.
Affirmative, recording mode active.
That's a good robot. Then why is the light off?
The light is active.
By the eternal alchemy, you're malfunctioning again. I just reset your matrix after the last time you lost a recording.
Recording mode is active.
Yeah, the mists are a good place of a picnic.
Added recreational location, mists. Two favorites.
Wonderful. Well, just in case my flawed companion actually manages to send this, here is another set of sweets and salts. That's also a really adorable way of putting this. For the Good Apple, the return of the Mad Memories and new back books. And for Grumble Cake, the rarity of the exotic weapon for the new specializations that come from identifying gear. Since unidentified gear can produce other exotics, it significantly lowers the chance to get the drops. As such, the prices on the trading post reflect this rarity. Okay, send it, Gollum. And now, the future message. You have to hit send. That's you.
The future. The failure.
The failure message.
Sending.
Okay, we'll do better next time.
Watch
that one.
That one.
Elocutionists. I got it now. Salutations, extraordinarily elocutionists.
I got it now.
Is this the first one he sent the new show? Our show, Host of Ascalon?
No, but I think with it's the robots. First one with the... Yeah.
With the golems.
Yeah.
With the robots. Robots.
So we got an email from Rob, and he says, I just wanted to take a moment to send an email in. I've been listening since the first episode, and I had been a fan of Guild Wars Reporter. I love the interaction the three of you have. It's a bit reminiscent of the OG Guild cast with Sean and Ruby in terms of banter or whatnot.
That's highly complimentary.
Yeah, that's nice of him to say. That was a very popular podcast.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I keep trying to catch an actual live show, but within 60 to 70 hour work week, Jesus Christ, dude.
Okay.
60 to 70, what? All right. With a 60 to 70 hour work week, I have to struggle to find time for Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
Keep up the great work. I've managed to keep my Guild Wars 2 podcast list down to 2. I look forward to every new episode. I guess I should add in a good apples and crumble cakes. I'll label this for POF, good apple. The sound design in the POF areas is almost Jeremy Soule level good, though the dust pupper breathing is a bit annoying. I didn't realize you could hear the dust puppers breathing.
I'm going to have to listen for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my grumble cake. Oh, hey, that Hydra's head fell off. Oh, wait. What's there's more meteors? Oh my god, everywhere.
That's almost a good apple.
Pretty much. So Slurms from Twitter wrote in some things for us. I love back pieces, but hate that there's no capes or cloaks.
Mm-hmm. I don't agree. Capes are dumb. Moving on.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
plaid capes for Christmas. Hashtag
predicts. No plaid. What the? Ridiculous.
I was trying to, where did Slurm say that? No, that's hashtag.
I love the combat system, but hate how large fights are a fireworks show. I actually have a screenshot of this that I accidentally took before I figured out mapping some things to my mouse. I was accidentally taking a bunch of screenshots. And I have one screenshot that I was going through them, and it's literally like just this complete blur of yellow and magenta effects all over the screen, and you can barely see anything going on. So, yeah.
Yeah, I dislike that instead of looking at the ground where I can't see anything to see if I'm in a AoE field, I have to watch my health to see if it's going down and then dodge out. That hits me all the time. I can't see.
Yeah. I love WDub, but hate that it's not given more attention.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. I love the gem store, but hate black lion chests and RNG.
Yep.
Yeah. I love Hunter and I hate Hunter.
Here's the thing. We'll be on and Hunter will see, oh, Slurms is on. He really needs that one fractal. And every time. Like, he's like, he has your back, Slurms.
Yeah, and like Slurms, oh no, I gotta go to bed.
Well, he probably legitimately has to go to bed. we're playing pretty late, so
yeah.
But yeah, I thought that one was adorable. And we had a late breaking entry from that Cho through email. Ahoy, hosts, your friend Cho here. Like apple pie in 2017, this good apple has gone under the radar. Recently, ArenaNet has enabled partnered accounts to live stream and shoutcast automated tournaments in PvP. I'm so excited that this move is a step closer to popularizing the PvP scene, as well as giving streamers like Jebro the opportunity for more content creation. Side note. Oh, this was a side note just for... Okay, blah, blah, blah. There was a side note for us, and I didn't read that. Side note, read this out loud.
I mean, we can read that. It's not that big of a... It's not really private. It's a well-known thing.
Okay. Fine. Now for my thick slice of grumble pie. Grumble cake. I like grumble pie.
You skipped it. I meant you should.
Well, but we. But it's a side note. You said it wasn't all that important. Really.
Well, it's not.
Okay. Side note just for the hosts. Or apparently everyone. This recent change has not been officially announced by Anet, garnering quite the criticism from some players. See this forum thread for that drama.
Yeah.
He very helpfully supplied us with drama.
Well, I think what's important to note is that, like, they introduced this thing, they didn't announce it, and people don't want people spectating to see their builds and broadcast it out to the public, and people are annoyed by that. And that's what Cho is pointing out.
Okay. I hadn't gone through the drama yet, so I was unsure what the drama was about specifically. Now for my thick slice of grumble cake. I have to admit that I am exasperated by ArenaNet's lack of poor timing of balance changes. The new PvP season starts on November 7th. This is also when they plan to release the newest balance patch, which has a ton of upcoming amulet changes. Sweeping changes combined with a long season and a season and a half of complaints without response is a big bulk of player frustration. And I thought this was interesting because we got this today, and then there was that note that we had talked about earlier in the show that seems to be directed specifically at this concern that people are having. So hopefully that announcement makes this a little bit less of a grumble cake for you, Dacho. Maybe? I don't know. One of the easiest solutions to making all game modes better is to have more frequent balancing of the skills, not just two or three times a year. I'm not even looking forward to this next season because I know it'll be wrought with imbalances that won't be looked at until 6 months from now. Also, I love the word wrought. It's great. Miss you guys. I will try to stop in live again soon. And then a little heart emoji, which I quite like.
Yeah, that show streams PvP all the time. You should check them out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
I will say, isn't that like a slight exaggeration? Isn't it more like every 3-4 months, not every 6? Just
I haven't tracked it.
Maybe the really big ones, I feel like, have been farther apart than 3 months.
Okay. Well, I could be wrong. I haven't been tracking it either.
But I hear that complaint a lot, and I think that looking at other games, you know, there are other games that do balance, you know, little tweaks every week.
Do they have as many modes, though?
That's a good point.
And even if it is every 4 months or something, that's still only 3 times a year, which is probably not that great.
See, I can totally see both sides of this one, particularly from the point of view of someone who PvPs, because what we were saying before, if you're in PvP and there's amulet changes and there's if they add more things or change numbers of how your skills are interacting with each other and all that, that's within PvP. But if they have those balance changes more frequently and they affect stuff like raiding,
I don't think
that is a monetary outlay.
I don't think it's so much the money outlay. I think it's more.
Isn't it?
I mean, I think that's part of it, but I think it's also you can completely, you know, like you play a character, you play a build that you like and you've completely gotten used to, and then it's.
I think like and gotten used to are two different things for raids.
I know that's true, but I mean, it's completely broken to the point that you can't use that anymore effectively. I know it's,
but that still comes down to cost, because say it's a change that completely negates a specific, like no one wants you to play Daredevil anymore. Well, I just spent the last while completely kidding out a Daredevil. Now I have to do something else if I want to raid with people. So I don't know what the answer to that is, but I can see why if you were doing purely PvP, having more frequent would be great. I can totally see that. And Boots were saying the faster the balance changes, the more bad builds.
Yes. Yay, more bad builds.
Yes.
Okay.
So anyway, thank you everyone for writing in those good apples and grumble cakes and sort of default mail carriers.
Yeah. So we also got a mail in our default mail carrier segment from Samandel, and he says, "Dear host of Ascalon, I've been playing Guild Wars 2 since a few months after launch. It's my first non-FPS, and it's currently really the only thing I play other than some random mucking about on a 3DS. Is it reasonable to have been playing this long and still not really know or care about the minutiae of gear and stats? I have 3 level 80s, but I only play my Ranger, and I really pick armor, etc. based on looks. I have more than enough mastery points for the new specializations, but I've never actually tried to unlock them. For some reason, I'm trying to craft Chuka and Chombawat, but I...
Because the journey is amazing.
And it's... Yeah, I mean, it's not called Fashion Wars for nothing.
Yeah.
But I don't really know why, because I've moved over to Longbow. Should I feel bad about how non-completist, casual, random my playstyle is? I'm sure I have hundreds of hours of playtime, but I still don't really know what's going on. Listening to you does inject some information into my brain, but should I try to organize, tighten up my playstyle, or continue to just wander around? Thank you, Samandel.
Play like you want to play. That's what's so great about this game. You can totally wander around.
Don't feel guilty.
Yeah. You play how you want to play. If you are enjoying being casual, be casual.
Yeah.
There's no reason to worry about stats unless, like, you're getting your butt handed to you, maybe.
Frick.
Yeah. Well, we ran entire Fungeons with the wonderful Key, who had a level 10 white bow for the bulk of it.
Yeah, that was
so
fun.
I mean, it was great fun when we realized what was happening. But, you know, it's... If you feel like you're missing out, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Like if you personally feel that, if you feel like you're being made to feel like you're missing out, don't let other people's way of playing the game affect how you want to play the game.
Yeah. I would say that you're only really affecting other people if, like, you're raiding. It doesn't sound like you're raiding, so you don't really have to worry about your stats. And yeah, just have fun. You could probably have an easier time of it if you min-maxed all your gear to kill stuff in Guild Wars 2. That's how it's built, but, like, it's also one of the most casual-friendly MMOs on the market. Mm-hmm. So there's that, too.
Yep. Bootsper in chat is suggesting that if looks are more important to you, if you use the wardrobe transmutation charges, if you could find some sort of stat set that looks somewhat interesting to you, but then transmute everything to be the look you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get
so that's one way you could do that without having to worry about.
Yeah, you get so many transmutation stones or charges from your daily or your login rewards from map completion that you probably shouldn't worry about, you know, using the wardrobe to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So make yourself look the way you want with, stats that you want.
And, you know, if you've started Chuka and Chompawat and you're enjoying the journey and the story that they've put into that, continue it. But don't go full bore where it starts feeling like a chore. Just take your time with it. And if you get bursts of, like, I'm going to go after this, do it. But if you're like, yeah, I'm good, just do that too. Whatevs.
Shortbow Condi, for me, is actually really fun. I'm not really sure why. It's not particularly interesting, but I like flanking stuff and getting poison going, and yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I've been doing Shortbow Condi with my Ranger for a very long time, so.
Yeah.
I like it, too.
I think that's...
So thank you for writing in, mm-hmm. Samandel. Did you have something else, anyone, on that one?
Nope.
All right.
Nope. Thank you.
And this is where we brag that people know me and our guild hall smells of rich mahogany. It's our Boasts of Ascalon. And this week, we have a new iTunes review. This is from Raduval, and it's titled Amazing, Informative, and Interesting Guild Wars 2 Podcast, 5 stars.
Yay!
I've managed to listen to HOA since the start and thoroughly enjoy the podcast. The chemistry between hosts is perfect. Sometimes you need a positive look at things and sometimes a grumpy look. HOA reminds me a lot of the original Guild cast in terms of the quality, content, and personalities.
So now my question is, is Radu Vol also, where was it?
Rob.
Rob.
Some similarities.
Yeah. So here's my question. So are you two Ruby and I'm Sean Schuster? Is that what's going on? Or is it the other way? Who is the grump in the original Guildcast?
I don't think there was any particularly grumpy person. They were both delightful.
One more thing. People are really taking the intro where I introduced you two as fangirls and me as a grumpy pants seriously.
Yes, it's only because of the intro that they are continuing to draw this conclusion.
I did write that intro, but like...
Yes, you did.
Somebody last week tweeted at me something, something, #I'm with grumpy, and it was...
I remember that. It was good. Yeah, you are. But okay, you're not necessarily... It's a curmudgeonly demeanor, but you're not actually grumpy, usually.
Usually.
Finally, we like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, and other notable Guild Wars 2 happenings and propose a toast to their existence. The Toast of Ascalon. This episode, we want to discuss ArenaNet and Extra Life 2017. And there's been quite a number of devs post and tweet about this more recently, but I think we first saw it when Ruby Bear tweeted out, "I'm excited to announce that ArenaNet will be supporting Extra Life as a company this year by live streaming 36 hours of Guild Wars 2 gameplay. For those of you who are not familiar with this event, Extra Life is a 24-hour yearly gaming and fundraising marathon in support of Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. From 12 p.m. PDT on Friday, November 3rd, to 11:59 p.m. PDT on Saturday, November 4th, tune in to twitch.tv/GuildWars2 to watch ArenaNet developers and members of our partner program play Guild Wars 2. We'll have tons of cool prizes to give away during the stream, including Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2 merchandise. To help us reach our goal, you can make a tax-deductible donation to Extra Life through the donation button at the top of our team page. Thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on November 3rd to 4th for Extra Life. And it's still the 1st, so you got a couple days. But by the time the show's posted, it'll be the thing will be up. And I have done a 24-hour gaming Extra Life marathon in the past, and it was incredibly fun to do. It will be super fun to watch the devs and partners go through it as well. You get pretty punchy by
2 a.m.
No. 2 a.m. You're still you start getting sleepy, but then you push through that to punchy, and weird things happen. And I'm looking forward to having this recorded for posterity.
Yeah, I'm curious to see who's going to be doing it. There are like a few devs that I would like to watch. Like Peter Fries would be really entertaining, I suppose, always. And maybe if he was like live streaming with Josh Foreman beside him so they could bicker back and forth. Steve Wang, I would like to... see,
that would be great.
Love Steve Wang and Connie Griffith seems so cool, like you'd want to hang out with her. So I'd like to see her stream, but I don't know.
Yeah,
and plenty of other people, of course, Matthew Medina or others.
Yeah, I think Barefoot Matthew might be one of the. I'm so used to calling people by their Twitter handles now. I'm looking forward to this. So. Yay.
And that is it. That is the show. So to get in touch with us, you can contact #on Twitter at HAAS H the tag or SIGG.1735 in game. You can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter. You can engage Alona at One Big Pair or in game at OneBigPair.1249. You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com. You can grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next Twitch show will be recorded on November 15th, so put that in your calendars. Don't think I don't see you typing there, hashtag. Yeah, just keep going. Good show, everyone. We are good enough. We are smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like us. We forgot a snappy ending. And I, Hunter, admit that I know what hashtag has two A's. And type is what Alona just typed there.
Typeety type. Yeah, we're going to have to like get better at work on that.
That's why I put the we are good enough, we're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like us, so that we could stop doing that. But
I liked
the customs. Well, I know what it's from.
Well, does hashtag know what it's from?
I don't.
It's from...
What?
Okay, relax. It's Al Franken in Saturday Night Live.
Oh, right. Okay.
Stuart Smalley.
Yes. Stuart, yes.
Ugh, I am shocked.
At least, you know, I did... Not the bees.
Yeah, we didn't know about that. So chat is actually saying we should do a 24-hour Host of Ask show. Well, you know what? Maybe... if things are still going along tickety-boo, we'll do Extra Life 24-hour next year.
That would be fun.
What? Oh, man.
Yeah. Maybe you'll do that, Hunter,
uh-huh,
with us.
Uh-huh.
Who's going to be doing the vast majority of it, though? It's going to be me.
Oh, what are you talking about?
24 hours?
No, you're in it
you
together.
You two would fall asleep?
No.
I've done this before, too. So. You've done it probably by accident, but I did it for Extra Life.